You said you believe that the Pope is being used as a pawn by the Mexican government. Do you really believe that Pope Francis would allow himself to be used as a pawn?
I do. I think what happened is he was there. He was with the Mexican leadership, and they said, what a terrible guy Donald Trump is, because he wants to build a wall and he wants to seal off the border.
Nuclear.
It's nuclear.
Nuclear.
It's not just dangerous, it's nuclear.
No, it's nuclear.
Is it nuclear? Ladies and gentlemen,
and listener,
thank you for tuning into and listening to this provocative, eloquent, and beautifully arranged audio experience called Slurpcast.
Wouldn't you say it's more amateur-vocative?
Amateur-vocative?
Where we start the show by yelling at the people at the restaurant nearby us.
Just shut up!
Hey, they let us come through to sneak in the building.
True. That's
they
true.
They did look at us funny, though, as if we were low-life degenerates.
That's a clue to the secret. You just gave a secret.
I was looking at you that way. They weren't looking at me that way.
I'm sorry, Mark.
No, we're in a secret place. You just gave a clue to the building. You shouldn't have told them that.
You did. You gave it up. Yeah. So this is a show, Slurpcast, which you went to listen at www.slurpcast.com, where Mark, myself, Steve-O,
hey.
Bobble Rob, and sometimes Snuck, who hasn't snuck yet into the show, get together to discuss the week's goings-on in tech.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
What's the premise of the show, Mark?
That there's nothing new under the sun.
No, that's
where
not,
did
that's,
I hear that before?
It's not the premise I was thinking of.
Right. That everything new is old again?
Well, that was a quicker way of describing.
Was that the promise of the premise?
That was the premise of the promise in the crevice?
Everything
the
new
is yourself? The brew
everything
is
new
true.
Is huge.
Is it? No, yeah. It's not. That's not the word he's using nowadays.
You wouldn't believe tremendous. How presidential I'm going to get towards the end of this process.
Right.
What does he say?
I'm going to be huge. Huge. It's huge.
Apparently the Pope doesn't think he's going to be huge.
He doesn't think he's a Christian, that's all.
Yeah. Well, he's not acting
wasn't
Christian.
It tremendous? Isn't he saying like tremendous?
Trump-mendous.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
It's so, Trump-mendous?
It's Trump-mendous?
I can't wait for the Trump-endous.
We like to get together and talk about things
we just
that
like
have
to get together,
happened
but
in,
when
the,
we do.
In the past week in tech and offer our opinions about what's going on. We also have a tendency to like to compare new fads to old things that existed maybe thousands of years ago.
Right.
We've got a bunch of stories this week to talk about.
Stories.
Let's see. Who wants to go first?
I think we should foist that upon you.
Yeah. Let's let Mark decide.
Well, there's a story about the FBI has a phone left over by the terrorists in San Bernardino.
Okay.
I was going to do that story.
Go ahead. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. And the phone's a little bit damaged. It had been stepped on or crushed a little bit, but they think they can probably get the data off it, except that goddamn Apple won't decrypt it for them.
Right. FBI.
So Apple claims it's impossible to decrypt, but the FBI got a court order ordering Apple to cooperate.
Uh-huh.
And specifically what Apple is supposed to do is write a special version of iOS to load into the phone that, number one, eliminates the limit of 10.
You know, the password attempts.
That's not necessarily even set. The default is not to do that, but it's possible that they have it set to erase the phone if it has 10 bad passwords.
I see. Okay.
So the court wants Apple to write a special version of iOS that won't have that counter for 10.
Okay.
And then secondly, rather than make the FBI make a machine to sit there tapping the buttons all day long,
right?
They want Apple to make some remote control method so that you can communicate the phone with by Bluetooth to give all the password guesses.
Okay.
And with a combination of those two things, you could brute force the password because you only have to go through 10,000 of
combinations,
PIN numbers.
Okay.
Right? And Apple is fighting that.
Yeah. And Tim Cook posted that specific response on their website.
Yeah, they're fighting that because if they write that special version, other people could get hold of it and could unlock other phones.
Other governments could get hold of it.
Yeah.
That the FBI could ask them to unlock other phones later and stuff like that.
The tone of the article, the tone of the letter that he wrote was like almost being like, almost like an educator, like he was a teacher teaching.
Right.
He's basically speaking about what they don't seem to understand in terms of right. security and what this means if they were to go ahead and be forced to write this version of the OS.
See, the court order doesn't even order them to give the version to the FBI. It says Apple could take the phone in-house and totally privately with no FBI around, break into it, then just give the FBI the data.
Yeah.
So it really could be a one-time thing. Apple doesn't want to admit that they're capable of doing it even.
That sounds interesting to me because if you get a phone, you know, that somebody used for some reason, well then, you know, okay, keep it private, you know, CEO or something. Right. But if it's a mass murderer and you can, like, figure stuff out,
right?
It seems to me that if you can do it in-house and privately by a federal court order,
yeah,
then that seems to be legally all right. But giving the feds the codes to break it themselves.
Right. No, but can you even order Apple to do work? Apple says they do not have such a thing right now. They'd have to spend development time. This isn't the case about Apple. Apple doesn't own the phone. It has absolutely nothing to do with Apple. Can a court order Apple to be their slave and actually do affirmative work like that?
See, I thought there was already a way to get in there.
No, so that was so a long time ago in their OS, they I think in the beginning days of iOS, they actually were able to get access to certain things.
Yeah, because the phones weren't encrypted. So if you just took the phone apart and took out the SSD,
right,
you could read the data directly.
But I think
or whatever.
But
nowadays it's encrypted.
Even when there was a period of time when even when they did start to encrypt, I think it was an option to encrypt, they could still get access to phones. And at one point, they just simply washed their hands of the whole thing and they said, we don't even have access to the phone anymore. Yeah. Anything you encrypt is going to be by default encrypted, and we cannot have access to it.
It needs a PIN number to or a fingerprint on the latest phone.
See, I don't get it. If the feds have the phone,
yeah,
you can't tell me that like one of those super black hat hackers can't spend all day trying to break into it?
Well, as a matter of fact,
they're afraid that if they try 10 passwords,
right, then
it may or may not erase itself.
Depending on the setting that the owner set.
Right.
But one person has come forward to talk about that and the fact that he could possibly figure out how to get access.
That's McAfee.
Exactly.
Yeah, the crazy McAfee.
Interesting.
But McAfee isn't claiming he could do it technically. He claims he would use social engineering to try to figure out what the password is.
Interesting.
Is what he's claiming.
I'm wondering if I...
Because McAfee doesn't know anything about this stuff nowadays. He's been out of the business for 20 years or something.
Oh, no. He says that if you Google his name...
Right.
Or no, not even his name, but if you Google security or some... I don't have the article right now because I didn't think it was this important, but there's an article that's maybe on Engadget about McAfee and him saying that if you Google some term like security,
you'll find his
name comes up within the first four
results. But that might be
because
of the company, though. Everyone thinks he still owns the company. That's partly why.
No, he's just simply trying to prove that he has the ability to do it technically, and that's what he was saying.
But I say I don't think he really does anything... Okay. Typically, lately, that much, especially not with iPhone security.
It's all the big booty and breasts in his face.
Yeah.
It's probably stopping him from being technically...
All the drugs and stuff, yeah.
Drugs, yeah.
So...
It's all the beautiful women that he has because of his popularity.
Right.
No?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Bob's like, where am I? What is this? What am I doing here?
I thought he was under arrest for murdering his neighbor in Costa Rica.
In Belize.
That's so yesterday.
Yeah, but Belize hasn't got him... extradited there yet. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's next, Mark? What do you think is going to happen? Is Apple going to be forced to...
I don't know on what basis a court would order Apple to do work to develop this program.
Okay.
If it was a civil suit against Apple itself and this phone belonged to an Apple employee who refused to unlock it and it had relevant information for the lawsuit, yes, the court would order Apple to unlock it or lose the lawsuit.
Okay.
But a case like this has absolutely nothing to do with Apple. I don't see how a court could order them to do work to do this. I don't know.
Yeah. What happens if they can't do anything with it? Who do you get with this court order? Do you get the CEO? Do you get... How do you punish them for denying it if they have the ability to do it in the first place?
Well, I think that's part of the problem is that I think there's an assumption on the part of the FBI or the court order that that there's this magical secret sauce that can be created.
Right. Ooh, I like secret sauce.
And Apple's sort of saying, look, we're not even sure we can do it, even if we can.
Right.
We have nothing exists now.
But so you can't do a search for it.
Isn't the FBI kind of hot to set a precedent in their favor so they can do this to any company?
Well, there's a bigger thing, right? That's about the government wanting to have access to all security, have a backdoor.
Yeah, right. Having a backdoor into everything.
And so that kind of plays into this whole thing.
Think about it in another way. You can get a court order to get anybody's cell phone records. Now, you can't listen to what they say. At least you used to not be able to. Right. But you can get and find out who they called, when they called, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you extrapolate that, you should be able to get information off their cell phone if you get a court order, if you get a warrant. So I'm wondering if it really does set a precedent, because if you're going to be a criminal, and I mean, a friggin' mass murderer, why do you think you have any of these normal rights? You get your phone records, you get your house checked, all your friends and family are questioned. Every bit of property you own is looked at. Every bank account is looked at.
Okay.
Why can't they look at your phone, too?
No, they can, but the question is, can they force Apple to do work to develop special software? What is it when Apple has absolutely nothing to do with the case? That's really what it's about, I think.
I see. So, Steve,
that's the precedent that the FBI is trying to set.
Yeah. Now, apparently in the past, when phones weren't encrypted so badly and Apple could unlock them easily if they wanted to, they actually cooperated with the FBI 70 times and unlocked phones 70 times in the past, but voluntarily. Hmm. So all the stuff Apple's saying now, all this philosophical reasons why they don't want to do it are kind of fake a little in a way. But again, can a court force them to if they don't want to cooperate?
Well, we've forced many companies to do many things for many reasons. Reason we have seatbelts and airbags and, everything else is because we forced the car industry to have safety bumpers and,
Or if they want to sell it. So you could force Apple to have a backdoor to sell their phones in the future, sure.
Yeah.
But can they force Apple to develop software to unlock this particular one that's already been sold? As a thing?
One of the other comments I saw about this whole thing was that if the FBI can do this and force Apple to...
Right.
I don't know what you want to call it, but it said that Apple's sales in other countries would be greatly impacted.
Well, I have no problem with this because I don't really like this huge exploiting company that rips you off from the price of their phones. But the other issue is they're not passing a law. The FBI is getting a court warrant, and that's totally different than Congress establishing laws for safety and everything else, like I was just using, for example,
the
cars.
Yeah. The other point, though, that Tim Cook makes is that even if they only did this in-house and they made this software and it was successfully able to break into this guy's phone, that software exists, and as just for the pure simple fact
Then they could do a search warrant and confiscate that software, maybe.
Well, or somebody can copy the software and give it to somebody else, even if, regardless of the law, regardless of what happens with this court thing. If it exists,
he doesn't want to open Pandora's box.
Yeah,
basically.
And he's saying that in the letter that he posted on the site is that basically, like, there's way more going on here than just this one guy's phone.
Right.
Once you create the software, you've opened up Pandora's box.
But that's not really true, because if you keep the proprietary under Apple, the only way somebody else would get it is if they stole it. That's just like a gun. You can have a gun in your house,
not
but
necessarily, because
somebody steals it.
Even internal employees can get a hold of the software and release it. And believe me, if people know it exists, this thing exists because of this case, some employee is going to get paid a whole shit ton of money to be able to secretly pass it under the table to some guy outside of the company walls, and then it gets copied and distributed, and there you go.
So I'm wondering, why can't the jailbreakers do this? There's a jailbreak available for pretty much every version of iOS nowadays. So I wonder why can't the jailbreakers build the software
I was wondering.
Anyway. If jailbreakers can do it, then
I have a feeling there's something that we don't know about this.
I think there are aspects of the OS that are not encrypted. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
And that's what jailbreak...
Okay. When you jailbreak, you load a alternative version of iOS in, but maybe you can't. Maybe the fundamental security of the password is stronger than jailbreaking can do. Yeah, I've never heard of a jailbreak that would get around the password, I guess.
I think this is a really important story, but I think we should probably move on for time's sake.
Right.
Well, I have a lighthearted story.
Okay.
Heard it on NPR and looked it up. There was a satirical website that went a bit wrong. It's Rent-A-Minority.
Oh, God.
A lot of big companies don't have enough minorities, and they jokingly...
I can see this being popular with the GOP.
Yes. And they would be one of the ones who didn't realize it was a satirical site. The host was talking about how the big banks in, like, other countries were like, did you open up a Singapore office?
Nice.
How do we use this? And they proposed that, oh, isn't it horrible when you get, you know, a very upset minority because it's just, you know, it's violent and scary. So this site will provide happy minorities to be in your pictures and in your office and things like that. And it was all basically a comedy and satirical to say, hey, look, you know, it's this is the way we're going, like temp jobs and everything else. You can rent a minority to make yourself look good.
Well, there are websites that do that. There are agencies that will rent crowds. Trump's been accused of hiring one of those.
Well, yeah, you just hire a staffing agency who does it on their own, but it's not specifically
for that.
let's have a whole website.
You know, that's awesome.
Let's get Token involved in our company.
It's like a service, but you don't have to actually do anything.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and every minority comes with a smile.
That's awesome. Somebody should hack that site and get the information on what companies are using this service.
Was this based in the U.S. or some other country?
Here.
Okay.
But that's just it. It wasn't real. They don't actually rent out, you know, black people.
All right.
You know, happy black women or something to sit behind your counter.
No, but I think there are modeling agencies that will do that, though, won't they?
Yeah, well, they'll just get people. There's very good-looking people.
To a certain extent.
Which guys, I'm still in the running.
Oh, hey, yeah.
I'm still in the running for the Calvin Klein ad.
Klein thing.
And in fact, I was supposed to go to Europe for... this girlfriend of mine shoot. And because I had a little conflict on the last day of the 10 days, now mind you, the shoot was only on the first day.
Okay.
They're going to rearrange the whole thing for me, even though I'm the plus one.
Nice.
And I was just like, I feel a little guilty, but
suck it. That's right.
Did you also get to go to the Super Bowl for free or?
No, they couldn't get Super Bowl tickets. But I might be getting next season Raider tickets for the whole season.
Mark, we gotta put Steve-O's picture.
Oh no! Oh God, no!
In the show notes,
right. Oh, Jesus.
On this episode, the one that he has, the black and white one, that everybody's like, yeah. Because I've actually shown the picture to some female friends of mine who have actually responded in a very positive fashion. Yeah.
And remember, I'm 13 pounds less now.
That's good.
Yeah,
but these are your salad days.
These are quite literally. That's what I had for dinner. It was quite delicious. Put garbanzo beans and avocado and cucumber.
There you go. That's
delicious.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome. All right.
Wes,
yes.
Do you have a story?
I do have stories. The story that I wanted
to bring
up.
For the
listener. Since we were talking about, like, hacking, I'll continue with that.
Like my modeling career.
I got an article off of Ars Technica called Hospital Pays $17,000 for Ransomware Crypto Key.
Right.
We talked about in a previous episode, I'm not sure which one it was, about maybe you're just walking, you know, browsing the web and then you accidentally land on a porno site and suddenly, discover that your documents have been, have been stored somewhere on the machine. Hidden from you, and there's a message that pops up and says, hey, if you want to get your personal information back, you just simply go to this site and pay with a credit card this amount of money, and we'll give you a key that'll allow you to get access back.
Right.
That is called ransomware,
but
one
this time,
example.
Yeah, usually it's computer by computer.
Right.
But this one, they somehow negotiated a price for the entire business.
So like the whole hospital server or something?
Yeah.
The original demand was 9,000 bitcoins, and they ended up paying only 40, but it's still a tragedy.
So they're actually sitting there negotiating with them. They're not just...
Right.
Because normally you just get this demand, you do it, or you
say that's the opposite of every movie ever. They negotiated with terrorists.
Well, apparently they're
I don't think they had a choice.
They're strongly... The hackers are strongly, like, they have good morals, so even... Right. So when you do pay them, they do give you the key. And a lot of... In the last article, we talked about the police were recommending to people who called them about this,
right, just
go ahead and pay it.
Yeah.
You'll get the key.
Right.
There's nothing we can do.
Well, I don't. I mean, it's a hospital. They don't really have a choice, do they?
I mean, that's rather dickishness. It's kind of that to a hospital.
But yeah. Medical records.
I would take issue with your earlier statement of good morals.
Oh, well, okay. You're right. The initial reason for doing it is probably morally questionable.
If they were doing this to Koch Industries, I would be, go for it.
Yeah. Virtual high five.
Oh, but again, how do you police this sort of thing?
Right. Nuke it from space. It's the only way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alien right. 1.
I'd say
Ripley.
Kim Jong-un, nuke it from space.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have a story.
No.
Sure. It's actually fairly interesting. A Russian point of sale, I don't know if that's what POS stands for, pickpocket generates new interest in RFID blocking wallets. A Facebook post depicting a man apparently stealing from commuters by tapping a POS reader against them unobserved on a public transport.
What?
Yeah, that's probably the more direct translation. Yeah. On a public transport caused a sensation on Facebook before being removed earlier today. The provenance of the photo is uncertain, but unnamed authorities have said it was taken in Russia. Since this type of opportunistic street theft requires a merchant business account through which any transactions would be easily traceable, the question arises as to how such acts of fraud are being made profitable. Comments on the matter have brought up anew the topic of RFID blocking wallets as a necessary everyday security. That's all I got. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I don't know enough about how the card, because credit cards in the United States don't have RFID in them. The chip for credit cards has to be plugged into a machine that reads it electrically, you know. So,
well, I guess the point of the article is, okay, you can do this, but how do you make money on it?
Well, just charge the people's credit card.
You do stuff online when you could just type it in, I guess.
I guess I didn't understand enough of the article to understand what makes this profitable. It said you have to have a merchant business account through which the transactions can happen.
You think it'd all be very traceable, yeah.
Yeah.
You certainly do that, but it seems...
Are they just counting on the fact that no one's really paying attention?
To their credit card bill? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good psychological gambit to me. I mean, you know, there's a worries about a police state, but my extrapolation on that is that eventually, there'll be video cameras everywhere watching everything we do, but nobody watching the videotape.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
But then again, the other side of that as well, as long as the videotape exists, the people in power can put together any edit they want to make you look like a criminal. So,
I see.
But what I'm saying here is that if the thief is doing this, he's got to be doing it to make money. There's got to be a way to make money off of it. So he's probably just relying on the fact that no one's going to pay attention.
Yeah, you... Well,
just like this podcast, nobody's paying attention?
If you can get a bank...
I wasn't paying attention, excuse me?
You'd have to open a bank account anonymously and then open like a PayPal account anonymously or something like that.
Anyway, it just seemed pretty interesting. It was a electronic pickpocket. Right. Next.
Going back to Steve's thing, not only is Steve-O, not only is Steve-O a Calvin Klein model, he's also single.
Yeah.
All right. I'll edit that out.
And a fairly good mime.
Fairly good mime at doing this
thing.
We're
going to post a picture of him, right?
I'm like, yes, because you want to have sex with me?
That's we're going to post a video. We're
gonna
post a
GIF. No, I really don't. But thank you.
We're going to post an animated GIF of him doing that.
I don't think so.
I found an article that I thought was pretty interesting about something, some phenomenon called ghosting, which exists on the internet amongst social media sites.
I tell you, I've been haunted by so many of my exes.
I guess the way it's been explained in this article, which we'll post on slurpcast.com, when you meet somebody online and you have like a sort of a romance with them online, and then at some point they disappear, but they don't quite disappear. They still follow your Twitter feeds and they still follow your Facebook posts. They're still in the background lurking, but they're no longer your girlfriend. They decided at one point that you were odd or there was something about you that they were afraid of or they didn't like, and so they just said, yeah, I don't want to be this person's, I don't want to have a relationship with this person, but there's value in them, so therefore I'm going to hang on.
So get this. I just found out that the friend of mine who I dated a year ago got a message, several actually, from my ex from 2 years ago in D.C.
This is not sounding good.
Saying that, you know, you should stay, you know, you should watch out. He's still my man, yada, yada.
Wow.
And we're not Facebook friends anymore.
Okay.
She is actually dating now a different guy in our group of friends back in D.C.
Okay.
And I am waiting for my friend to send me the emails that she sent. And I'm like, what? I haven't had contact with this woman for 2 years, but apparently she's still trying to figure out who I'm dating. And bother them.
So she's not close with you, but she's Glenn close with you.
Yes, I'm glad I do not own a rabbit.
Well, the article says that the term ghosting is a bit of a misnomer. It's more like haunting.
I think misnomer is a bit of
my case.
A misnomer.
So this article is pretty lengthy, but it's quite funny. So we'll post this on the show notes.
What was the old Chris Rock joke, Ghost of Pussy Past?
Wow.
Well, there goes our one listener.
Mark.
Yes.
Read us your story, Mark.
It's your turn.
Self-driving cars can be hacked using a fancy laser pointer with a modulated signal sent to it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you aim it at?
At the radar sensor.
Okay. Now, I was just curious about the point of entry. Like, you shut it in the driver's eyes and they crash.
I'm always curious about the point
of
entry.
Unless you've hacked into the car because it's split open in front of them.
No, but apparently the self-driving cars use LiDAR technology, just like radar, but using light.
Oh, I see.
And if you send not just any old laser pointer, but send a laser beam modulated just the right way, you could fake out the car into thinking there's an object in front of it that's not really there.
So it would slam on its brakes.
So you can get it to... You can get it to freeze and not move just by making it think there's
this
things
around it.
This is going
to totally destroy the 20-year in the future Uber company.
Right.
Yeah. Uber seems to be aligning themselves to do.
Right.
Some could say that, you know, drivers are going to be gone. It'll be all automated.
I thought they were competing with Stalin for worst group of people ever.
Yeah. Worst group of people.
Well, Stalin was one guy, but he had a lot of underlings.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I actually used to know this great guy in a band called Stung, and it was a police tribute band.
Oh, cool.
Stung?
Instead of Sting?
What's brown and sounds like a bell?
Bob O'Rob.
Isn't it your turn?
Oh, okay. I'm kind of going back over stories that I've talked about before in previous episodes. This is an article that I got off of Gizmodo.com. An original film print of Star Wars. Sorry, let me start over again. An original film print of Star Wars has been restored and released online.
That won't last long, will it?
I don't know. Yeah. You would think that Disney or Lucas would take it down.
Right.
But there's a link in the show notes, or there's a link in this article, so we'll, let's see here. Yeah, we'll send it to you. We'll put it up on the show, and you guys can take a look at it. Basically, the gist of the article is that throughout eons, since the 70s, when Star Wars first came out, Lucas has upgraded the CGI in each of the releases, whether they be on DVD or VHS or whatever. Yeah. He's added more and more effects to it to make it more modern, you know, along with the times.
Boo.
And there has been...
the dialogue would have been better.
People have taken Star Wars and actually tried to keep it as analog as possible. And there's been like YouTube videos where people have released their version. Specifically, I'm thinking of a time when a very famous kid, had actually taken clips of all of the different scenes in Star Wars that were analog and had no CGI and released this compilation on YouTube, and it was very popular for a while.
And yet Jar Jar Binks was still ghosting the whole process.
But this is apparently the full thing, the original the way it was. I guess the article that also talks about despecialized edition was the term you would search for on YouTube to find the one that was like the concatenation of all the analog
scenes. Did they actually have a capture of the original somehow, or did they put it all together? they'll totally manufacture it again from, that's kind of what you said, that they had to take a bunch of modern versions and
right.
try to make it old again.
This is not the despecialized version like many other fan attempts to revert Lucas's changes. The article says, somehow a group of fans dubbing themselves Team Negative One found an original 35mm right, film print okay. of the first Star Wars movie okay. and have spent years cleaning it up, scanning each frame of the film and digitally restoring it to make the cleanest right. version of the original movie as possible.
Wow. I'm really thankful for that, but they need a new hobby.
Seriously. Yeah. Every single frame. Wow.
That might have taken a minute.
That's yeah. apparently
were these trust fund kids?
I have a claim to fame with the original Star Wars.
Okay.
You can all be jealous. When I was a kid, I saw it in the movie theater twice in the same day.
Ooh, wow.
Yep. I went with my mom and my brother, and my dad was upset because he's like, I wanted to see it too. So when he came home from work, we all went back to the theater and saw it again. Of course, my brother and I just thought it was, you know, the cat's pajamas.
Did you have to wait long lines?
Huh? No, it was several months after it came out.
Okay.
But you didn't do it with the J.J. Abrams film, did you? You didn't do it with this one. Huh?
I haven't even seen it twice. I've only seen it once. I still think we need to remake the Flintstones movie with Michael Bay as the director. Be like, what a Wilma! You know.
Transformer sounds.
There you go.
Tell me a story about Peter Pimple and maybe...
It's my turn, though.
But.
Wait.
I'm segueing, though.
I think you just fell off your segue.
This is about Peter
into your ditch.
Do you okay. have a story more important than
no,
Peter
I don't.
Pimple?
I don't have anything more important than your fart stories. Go ahead.
Anyway, this may or may not be Star Wars, but some movie playing at the Coronet Theater in San Francisco, which is where the Star Wars was.
What kind of theater were you in when you saw this movie?
No, the Coronet. No, I saw it at the...
Did your shoes stick to the floor when you were walking?
No.
Okay.
Anyway...
In the 80s, everybody's shoes stuck
I mean,
to
it
the
may
floor.
Not be Star Wars, but we were walking by this theater,
yeah.
either the Coronet or the one across the street from it.
Okay.
That had a really long line.
Yeah.
And we just for the fun of it, we started asking people to move. We pretended that we worked there, and the line was like against the theater or something all along the wall of the theater. We asked everybody to move over to the other side of the sidewalk. Everyone actually believed us. We actually walked on the line, got the entire line to move over.
Okay.
Then just for the fun of it, a little few minutes later, we went over and got everybody to move back to the original place again. It was just fun doing that. It might have been Star Wars. I'm not sure.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. What was how exactly was that a
people,
segue again?
Because it's about Star Wars, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. They're probably just waiting for the new Apple.
Right.
I won't go into detail, but this goes back to the story you had a long time ago about if you have a reason for asking people to do something, standing in a line,
yeah.
The reason makes no difference whatsoever
right.
because you had a reason. People who don't understand what right. that reason is will follow it.
You say because. You don't even have to have a real reason.
Right.
Just
okay.
say because and then blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's a reason.
As long as the word because is in there, though.
The blah, 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 blah is the yeah. reason, even if it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Can I go to my story now?
Yes, I'm sorry. Or? Bob or Rob.
Okay. This is basically...
No, you can't because blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Now go stand against the wall.
You're out of line. You're out of line.
Because why?
You can't handle the cue.
Hey, he cut the line.
He's cut a whole bunch of things before this.
He moved the line to the other side.
He'll cut you.
Could exercise help beat cancer? Perhaps. If you happen to be a mouse, an experiment in which mice chose to run between 4 and 7 kilometers a night has shown how exercise can boost the immune system's attack on cancer.
I actually posted this on my Facebook.
Yes.
Because I was a big runner throughout all
oh, okay.
of high school.
Yes.
And I always said, runners make the smartest athletes. Everybody on my cross-country team, because we're all running distance, had at least a 3.5 or higher GPA.
Okay. This is talking about how it fights cancer.
Well, I thought there was another article where
and
it talked
them,
about
none,
the brain.
None of them
it
in high school had
brain
cancer.
Function.
Well, it does. It does both. So running and aerobic exercise is good for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yes.
But this is a newly
it
discovered
gets you better
one.
At sex so you can last longer and
does
you don't
it?
Sweat as much.
Huh.
This says that...
how to start running.
It can boost the immune system's attack on cancer, preventing new tumors growing and slowing the growth of existing ones by up to 60%.
Wow.
And it wasn't just any exercise. It had to be aerobic exercise.
Okay. Was that like cardio? Like anything to get your heart rate up?
Yeah. It's the first time we've shown, this is the researcher saying this, it's the first time we've shown that exercise can play a direct role in reducing the growth of cancer tumors, says Pernille Hodgman of the University of Copenhagen in Denmark.
It's always some other country.
Her team tested the effects of exercise on five different types of mouse cancer, including those of the skin, lung, and liver. They found that exercise prompts the release of adrenaline.
Okay.
This stress hormone, in turn, stimulates the immune system to send its cancer-fighting natural killer cells into the bloodstream. A substance called interleukin-6, which is released
I've seen that movie. Oh, wait, what?
I think that was Gattaca.
So if you actually, like, run to the pot club and get your pot oil, which is actually also helps cancer, you'd be doing great. You'd be healed by the time you got home.
100%.
And you could hang a bag of Doritos in front of the people's heads like a carrot. And they would just run forever.
But then they'd all look like zombies, drooling and, like, tongue hanging out.
Well, that is going to happen at some point here.
A substance called interleukin-6, which is released by exercising muscles in the mice, directs these killer cells to attack the tumors. Cool. We already know that exercise has an impact on natural killer cell activity, but this is the first time anyone has shown it's directly involved in helping them invade tumors.
Can we make more noise, please?
Lee Jones of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. This is a big piece of the puzzle that's been missing, he says.
How long is that hallway?
Longer than this podcast.
He stopped for a second and then kept going.
So if this podcast feels long to you, the hallway that we're experiencing that noise from is even longer.
Yes.
None of the mouse tumors shrank as a result of exercise alone.
Okay.
They only grew less quickly. Sorry. None of the mouse tumors shrank as a result of exercise. They only grew less quickly, suggesting that exercise is unlikely to reverse an existing cancer.
Okay.
But in some animals, running did prevent liver tumors from growing in the first place. That's pretty amazing. In people, there is some evidence that exercise can prevent the relapse of colorectal and breast cancers after menopause, says Hodgman. Next, her team will follow.
So we need old ladies jogging?
Next, her team will follow cancer patients to see if their exercise patterns are associated with similar beneficial effects.
Following cancer patients, isn't that stalking?
Ghosting.
It's
ghosting.
If you're doing it with a laser pointer, set at a certain frequency.
Well, you know, we've been talking about...
And it's being shined at them from a driverless car that you're controlling from a drone that's flying over the driverless car from your cube, your cubicle in Nevada or whatever you're working from.
Nicely done. That's a good summary.
It does. It felt summary a couple days ago up here. It was like 80.
Yesterday. Steve-o. No. Mark.
What did you say?
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
There's just too many people here. I'm making up names. Sarah, I mean.
It's like when your mama gets mad at you and she uses like every name, your brother, your sister, the dog, the father. You know, stop it.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
The one that's 2 years young.
Seriously, my mom went through my father, my brother, the cat, and then my name. Steve, stop it!
My aunt would just do the wrong name. She'd always call her children and the clan, her nephews and stuff, the wrong names, like almost every time.
Huh.
That sounds like dementia, yeah. But you know.
No, all, right. She, all through her life, though, not just when she was older.
Dementia can last a long time.
Who are you?
Who's going next?
Okay.
Is it Marker?
Well, Qualcomm has developed a technique for fingerprint recognition for phones. It uses ultrasonic waves instead of light, so it can do like a three-dimensional scan of the ridges of the fingers.
So it's sound.
Not as easy to fake by pictures of fingers or anything.
So it's audio? It's sound?
Yeah, like ultrasonic sound.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they get a 3D picture of your finger and the ridges on it instead of just like a flat, scannable.
So it's pressure.
How does a scanner on a phone, tiny?
I assume that it's more going to be, it's like ultrasound.
Well, you have to carry a big suitcase with you. It's not,
Is this like the old car phones in the old day where you need something in the trunk?
Yeah.
It's going to be like sonar.
Yeah, sonar.
Because basically the sound is bouncing off of the...
So is it somehow that they send the signal from the speaker and pick it up on the microphone? Is it a separate circuit? Or what?
It would be a separate little module.
That's what it sounds like when you back up. Beep, beep.
It's probably not ready for use. Yeah, it's probably just a prototype thing. You know?
You can never go back.
Well, speaking of movies that we've been talking about, anybody remember The Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, that and saving all the porn that we have now, which is always important. Because, you know, when you used to have, like, video players that would wear out.
Beep.
You know?
Beep.
Yeah. But now.
Yeah, VHS tapes that wear out because you watch them so much.
There's a new Superman memory crystal that could last billions of years.
Really?
Yeah. So researchers have demonstrated a method of femtosecond laser writing self-assembled crystallized.
Are those lasers coming out of fembots?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you put the disks on their jumblies.
Beep, beep, beep. Sorry, Mom.
So apparently this crystal, you know, tell me this is not like Superman where you stick it in the thing and, you know, the holograms pop up.
We were
up.
Talking about that earlier.
But apparently you can store 360 terabytes on this crystal that can withstand 1,000 degrees Celsius and will last billions of years at room temperature.
Billions or billions?
Billions. Is it the Carl Sagan version, or is it just the average guy walking down the street? Billions.
The data is written to a file comprised of three layers of nanostructured dots separated by 5 micrometers.
I don't know. Sounds like a standard
CD. We'll be right back with Led Zeppelin.
Sounds like a standard audio CD to me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever it is, it'll get popular for a while, then the technology will get lost. Billions and billions of years from now, you might have the crystal, but you're not going to have the technology to read it.
Well, that's going to happen with everything. Like, I can't find a disk drive for my iOmega Zip disks.
Okay.
See, I'm wondering how strong these things are, because if they're like glass, what if you just, like, step on it and crush it under your foot?
Right.
I mean, how does it last a billion years if you're crushing it?
Well,
it's from the planet Krypton, which had a higher gravity.
Right.
So it's denser, like you are than me. And that's why. Wait. Sorry.
Isn't it made of graphene?
I resemble that remark.
Isn't graphene going to be
I dissemble that remark, because the femtosecond lasers. And the nanostructure.
From the jumblies?
Nanostructure?
From the.
Yeah, and the Femibot.
Yes.
Jumblies.
Yeah.
They all recorded great stuff.
So what's all this about endangered feces?
You can keep your internet porn for billions of years.
Billions.
It says it might actually last longer than the human race on this planet.
So, Mark, is there a company.
The way we're going.
Is there a company that's dedicated to being able to store different file formats?
I believe it's called Zip Drive.
Or different medium.
Well, the
Internet Archive?
The government, the Internet Archive does a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Not the Internet Archive. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Library of Congress?
Not Internet.org, Mark Zuckerberg's.
Not his, no.
Okay.
No, but the Internet Archive
strives to do that.
Yeah, Jason Scott or something.
Nice.
It's in San Francisco, isn't it?
Maybe.
Okay.
But there's a guy, Jason something or other, has a blog where he works for them, and he talks about it all the time.
Jason Bourne.
Yeah. No.
Edward Snowden?
Cool. Okay, so that's their goal, is to basically
have a new movie.
Archive all these different formats.
Yeah. Okay.
Directed by Michael Bay.
As long as there's some company that's actually keeping track of all these formats, then at some point, the hope is that if they stay around, then this will never happen, where that disk and the way that the data is stored on it. But again, we talked about this previously. I know that famous artists who use, like, Amiga computers have stored things using proprietary software that then the platform goes out of style, and the artist is famous. Somebody finds the machine at a pawn shop that had the artist's name on it. Then they have to go through and figure out how to get that data out of the proprietary format. That's happened.
So is this like when Star Trek had to fly around the sun to go back in time to pick up the two whales and bring them back to the future? Right.
Well, the most important thing about that was the aluminum glass.
Yes, the transparent aluminum.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That could actually hold enough water to have the whale in the Enterprise and survive. Otherwise, the whole movie would have been preposterous.
Because they didn't leave any room for air at the top.
Yeah.
Right. So they would have to have warped, like,
I don't know, within 15, 20 minutes or however long a whale can hold
its breath.
Actually
what they did was they put Captain Kirk inside the water and all the hot air coming out of him talking filled the water with enough oxygen for the whale to survive.
Nice.
Excellent.
And it also spurred the whale to get out of there as soon as possible.
And go...
Yeah.
Well, on a more serious note...
That was a pretty good note.
That was a good note.
That was a B-flat.
It was kind of a... there was some pitch changes there, but it was actually pretty good.
I think it was done by a screwball, so that was kind of self-referential.
What I consider to be the best movie ever made... was Blade Runner.
Kangaroo Jack?
A very good movie. Very good movie. I appreciate it even more now than I did when I was young.
Yes. It's one of those timeless things where, like you said, even if you watch it now, it still is really powerful. And
when you consider the technology that they had to make the special effects back
then,
it's incredibly...
They literally did
incredibly
everything.
Incredible.
Yes.
They did everything analog. There was no computer-generated graphics stuff. And like the scene with the city that opens up in the beginning of the movie.
You mean Rutger Hauer actually lifted Harrison Ford up by one arm?
No, it wasn't one. Well, but that wasn't CGI.
Oh, that was a really strong guy.
Yeah, well, it was either that or a platform underneath him, or something hanging from the
or a wire.
I don't know, but that's the beautiful thing about analog special effects is that there's many ways to do it. All of them are time consuming.
Like this explanation?
But he was going to die soon. How did they do it so fast?
So, the effects
this
were done by...
This is what it sounds like when doves fly.
The effects were done using, like, overlays and things like that, like where they would film explosions and then they would overlay the explosion
I like layovers.
on top of the
The last time
scene.
I had one, it was in Schenectady. It was no good.
Oh.
Help me. Help me.
I don't think even know if there's an airport in Schenectady.
Help me.
So it must have been a Greyhound bus.
So the good news is, and where I'm going with this story, is that
do you know
the Blade Runner
where you're going
Blade
to?
Runner 2 is coming out.
I'm worried.
It's going to hit theaters on January 12th, 2018.
2018?
Does it take Harrison Ford that long to move nowadays?
What? Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford star in the Denis Villeneuve-directed movie, which picks up several decades after the conclusion of the 1982 original. Harrison Ford is going to be like,
get off my flying lawn. Damn replicants.
Is Edward James almost still alive?
They didn't mention him in the article.
And by that time, is there another language thrown in to the...
German, Chinese, English.
Yeah, whatever.
Although, I will say, they had futurists, like Sid Meier, decide what the future was going to look like in 1982. So...
It actually looks like what the future would be if Trump was elected.
Or if Nixon had never...
Very few people living on Earth, everybody trying to leave it.
Or if Nixon had never resigned and just declared himself president forever, like in The Watchmen.
Good. Yes.
Next. Right.
So that's it for my stories. Mark, bring us to some kind of like back down to Earth.
Get us out of here.
There's now a Pong for the Apple Watch.
Pong?
Yeah. Is there Pong for Android watches?
Yeah, there's been Pong for a while for Android watches.
Never mind. But there's Pong for Apple Watch now.
That reminds me of an article I heard about useless things. So people always had the Fitbit, right? They said, oh, this is great, monitor things. But nobody uses it for more than a few months because they probably got it just to, you know, the exercise, get in shape. And then once they get in a decent shape, they're like, I don't need this thing anymore. They've now put in these Bluetooth trackers on your little pet's collar so you could see where they go, what they do, and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, oh, I lost my dog. Can you track him down? Like that little injection pill thing. This is an actual thing so you can track where they go, what they do, who they sniff, and everything else. And I'm like, why would you need that? And how, you know, it's also Fitbit, like how far did we walk? Did we go, you know, two walks today or one?
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Like this guy.
Okay, so after you find your puppy's routine.
What do you do?
Yeah. Throw it back in the closet.
Yeah,
in the electronic junk drawer with your zip drive.
No, but I bought one of those.
Yeah.
The original whistle, which was just a Fitbit for the dog, didn't really do anything except track activity. I thought it was really stupid, and I gave it back quickly. But the latest whistle is a GPS tracker, and I do keep that on the dog. Because the dog gets lost, I can tracker by the cell phone and has a GPS and everything.
I mean, that makes sense, but...
I don't really care about the activity that much. I do get reports from it that her activity was higher this week than last week or whatever. But it's no big deal because I'm the one who walks her all the time, so I already know what her activity is.
You know? I don't cry when my dog runs away.
Yeah, so I really don't care about all that stuff. I just have it on her as an emergency thing in case she gets lost or something.
Yeah, I mean, injecting your dog with that little tracker is a smart idea. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Except for when the battery runs out and then you got to, like, dig into the skin of the dog to remove it.
No, but those don't. No, the ones that are injected don't work that way. They're not trackers, really. They're scannable for the scanner an inch away. Yeah, the purpose of them.
So if somebody else finds the dog, they'll know.
If someone else finds the dog and brings it to the to a vet or the pound, they can figure out.
So they're passive. Yeah. They're passive devices that don't have necessarily batteries inside. Right. So once they're inside, they
react to the field of the scanner, don't they?
Right.
Well, NFC is.
See, wouldn't this be a great way to keep those ghosting girlfriends from haunting you? You
let
put a little tracker in them while they're sleeping. Right. So
no, just get
2 years later, you're like, why are you sending me emails? I see that you're sending me.
Get them to listen to this podcast.
There we go.
They'll stop following you immediately.
Oh, he's one of those Slurpcast people. Oh,
good Lord.
Shh. Nobody tell anybody I dated him. Seriously.
This is the only show in the entire world that only has one listener. It's that show. Yeah.
Okay, I have one last story. Has anybody here seen Deadpool?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Almost.
It's a spoiler of sorts.
So our one listener should plug their one ear?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how to word this without giving out too much because the article kind of gives away stuff. In the Marvel Universe, the heli carriers, do you remember the ships that fly?
Right. Yeah.
X-Men?
Yeah.
Right? In Deadpool, there is one towards the end of the movie. It's a main part of the film, but that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And it's a very special.
It says Trump in big letters on the side, right? Oops.
And it's shooting millions of people.
Right.
Because he couldn't build the wall.
Yeah, right.
And it's in small writing for a very quick second. If you are watching the film and you're attentive, it says, my hair is real.
So Ryan Reynolds didn't kill this one?
What's that?
Like Green Lantern?
Oh, he did a really good job. And I think... Part of what made him do this, part of what made him play this role so well was the fact that he was making fun of everything, every single scenario.
Yeah. Okay.
So it just matched better than what he was doing when he was playing Green Lantern.
I have I have a story about Mattel unveiling a $300 3D printer.
Oh yeah.
Perhaps in an attempt to get out ahead of the consumer 3D printing market. Which has allowed popular toys such as Legos to be replicated, Mattel today announced it would begin shipping its $300 fused filament fabricator machine in October. Mattel's Thingmaker? Reinvents the company's iconic 1960s toy of the same name. The new Thingmaker allows users to upload design files via Mattel's proprietary design app, which works on Android or iOS devices. The 3D printer can then print single-part toys or print hundreds of different parts to be assembled into toys using ball and socket joints. Mattel's ThingMaker design app is based on Autodesk's Spark, an open 3D printing platform that provides extensible APIs for each stage of the 3D printing workflow. Because it's based on an open architecture, the ThingMaker design app also works with other 3D printers. It is available now and free to download for iOS and Android devices.
Cool.
I just thought it was pretty cool because when I was a kid, the first ThingMaker from the 1960s was basically this little easy-bake oven type thing where you would have these steel or aluminum or some kind of alloy plates that had, you know, negative impression molds that you could fill with this goop. It was actually called goop of different colors. And you'd cook it a little bit. And when it came out, it was kind of rubbery and flexible.
Okay.
So you could make little monsters or little, you know, worms or whatever. And so for them, which was a really popular toy at the time.
You put the little characters you make on the on your mom's velour couch at the time, and you realize that it was toxic, and it made a stain in the actual couch, and she then grounded you.
I'm sorry that my article brought up past trauma from your life.
That was slime. Do you remember slime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was cool that they're calling it the same name on a very cool idea.
That's awesome. They recognize something from the past, which goes with the theme of the show, by the way.
Right. Right. Which is no one listens to this show.
Oh, is that what the theme is?
That not the intended theme, but that's the actual theme that matches.
And no one's going to buy the thing maker just like our show.
Actually, there's probably a few people listening to the show that would buy it. I think
I would.
That sounds like something fun. Yeah.
Anybody else have any other stories?
No.
That's it for me, Steve-O.
Steve-O, you had an article about a hydrogen car or something like that.
I did. So it turns out that some guy named Hugo Spowers, which sounds like Hugo's Powers.
Austin Powers?
Don't make you horny, baby. Brandy, do I?
It's not mine, baby.
Rockin'. Don't come and
it's a hydrogen
baby.
Car. Is it a goer?
Right. So, it is made in the UK. So it turns out that
it has bad teeth then.
Probably. I actually saw a picture of it. Rather cute. It's a two-seater. It's kind of...
Didn't it kind of
EV1?
Look like the EV1
right,
that GM
right.
used to
use? EV1 looking. Yeah. But slick and updated. It looks pretty cool. It's got like a see-through back window that's like sloped and looks...
It has a window you can see?
It's got a window that's see-through in the back?
Wow. Right.
That's crazy.
But it normally they just put like some hydrogen system in a regular car and try to make it work.
Yeah. Right?
But this one was built with carbon fiber around the hydrogen system, so it actually gets more power, and it's like designed specifically this way to be lighter, better, faster, stronger, like the $6 million man.
It's Steve Awesome.
But carbon would also help...
That is my nickname. But that's
carbon would also help protect it from an explosion, theoretically.
Like if edit this out was in the car?
Webster's Dictionary describing... Are you defining a fart? The small explosion between the knees?
Yes.
Oh.
So, actually, hydrogen is not really that much more flammable than a tank of gas.
Okay.
So that's not really the issue. The tank is only 3.3 pounds.
Oh.
So it's not very big, but you're going to get 300 miles on it.
That's pretty good.
So that's pretty great.
Cool.
And one of the reasons that, unlike a Tesla that runs on electricity, the tank of hydrogen holds more energy per, whatever amount that you're talking about, pounds, liters, whatever the hell it is. And if you could develop a system at gas stations to have hydrogen, the infrastructure would already be there. And it just makes water.
Yeah.
So, that's a good thing.
So we already have buses that use hydrogen in the Bay Area, but they require, like you said, that system to be there already of getting the hydrogen to the stations that buses and cars can get to. And right now that's not there for consumers. It's there for the bus lines, but that's the hurdle, right?
It is, but you could instantly change things by putting an external tank. I'm just imagining, this wasn't in the article, but if you put an external tank in a gas station, like where you go to fill it up with air or water hoses, and then you could have that gas pump there because there's not a high demand, even if they started making these things
just
tomorrow.
Just like gas stations need trucks of gasoline to come to them and replenish them with gas, they could have an external hydrogen tank and the hydrogen trucks could come there.
Think of when you're going to get propane from
the
gas station.
You know what? The problem with having a tank there is that hydrogen is fairly explosive, right?
So I'm just saying in the immediate. Whenever you build a new gas station.
People across the street taking pot shots with shotguns at the hydrogen tank would be a bad idea.
Well, that's okay because redneck areas that have shotguns and people who want to shoot at things probably don't have the demand for these vehicles.
Or they won't last very long, and therefore the problem's been solved.
And if they blow it up... Then the gas station would have to rebuild itself, and then they could put the tank underground.
I see.
But so that would be the immediate future, and then any long term would be to put in underground.
I'm really glad we have serious discussions about this kind of stuff.
Okay. See, another factor here is that
driven by logic,
hydrogen can be created in the field. You don't need to truck it in.
Oh,
hydrogen can be created with electricity and water. You can make hydrogen.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to.
I mean, it's a slow process.
Huh, cool.
But it, you know.
But the point about the infrastructure is very important because the stations are already there.
You could
convert one tank from gasoline underground to having
hydrogen.
a hydrogen tank underground. Then
seriously, who buys the mid-grade gasoline anyway?
Right.
You know, well, nobody's car recommends slightly higher.
Right.
It's either super or whatever the hell.
It's for the people who can't decide. They're like, I don't want the highest one, but I don't want the lowest one either.
Right.
I just go with the mid one.
Sure.
Yeah. There are people like that. Indecisive fucks.
What?
Anyway.
Well, you know, that's like saying, oh, I don't want a really large penis, but, you know, I don't want a little one either. You know, I just want Devo's penis because it's just the right size.
Beep.
Too far. Oh.
Splat. Ladies and gentlemen, and the one
on
listener.
On that note.
Anything else, Mark? Do you have any craps to piss off Obi-Wan?
That's okay.
Baba Rob?
Nah.
Okay.
Right,
so the neat, one of the neat things about this car, by the way,
yeah,
is that the hydrogen, the way the fuel cell works, it only provides like a constant amount of energy. So how do you accelerate like quickly and stuff? They have this
stomp on the gas.
There's a hole in the floor that you use your feet with. And if you're in the Michael Bay version of the Flintstones, it's really, really highly CGI, so you can go really fast.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of detail, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much that it makes you want to throw up because it's so fast, and the contrasts are so strong. You're just like, what the?
Well, they actually use this word. Say this word in a funny voice.
I can't even read that word. Hang on. Let me turn on the light. In a funny voice.
Yes.
Which word is it?
Supercapacitator.
Yes, exactly. They have a supercapacitator.
Yes, that's how to pronounce that word.
They have a supercapacitor.
They have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Did I say it incorrectly? I think I did. I said supercapacitator.
Yes.
That's what the hell is that?
That's something that you use in nuclear energy.
It sends a trickle of electricity in there, which gets stored.
Okay.
But
and then the car laughs because it's being trickled.
Supercapacitors allow for an extreme amount of
sarcasm.
Energy. It's an extreme amount of sarcasm to be released instantly, which gives
The big boost. Yeah.
Okay. A capacitor.
Yes.
Not capacitator. You know,
well, they have a supercapacitor and a flux capacitor.
Right.
However.
All right.
Doc!
I like that.
That's crazy, Doc.
It will accelerate you up to 88 miles an hour.
I actually think that this is going to be more a more realistic power source for the future than the continued non-growth of electric cars. The batteries are just huge, massive, and Mark has said this before, that the amount of carbon that we're saving isn't necessarily...
Well,
we're not necessarily saving anything with these because you have to end up destroying the batteries at some point at the end of the life of the car.
No, but the problem is, it's also that where the electricity comes from.
Okay.
Electricity is often coming from coal or
not
whatever.
Just the batteries
well,
themselves.
Actually, that's weaning itself out.
Yeah.
Coal.
Okay.
So it'll only get better in the future. The problem is, if we don't get like supercapacitance funky gel like you see in the movies or something, it would be fine. It'd be great.
You mean like let your soul glow?
What?
Sorry, that was Jerry Curl juice, but go ahead.
Right. No, I'm thinking of Demolition Man, how they have a capacitance gel tank, you know, that has like super tons of capacity.
Okay.
You know, then it would be fine. The problem is that generating enough hydrogen to have, you know, 200 million hydrogen vehicles in America takes a lot of work, even though it's so prevalent. In the world, in all of the universe, hydrogen, you still have to get it into like a liquid form.
Right.
And to make liquid hydrogen takes a lot of energy.
Right.
And then you'd have to distribute it. So while it is totally better than just digging up gasoline and causing earthquakes and everything else, it is still a labor-intensive process.
Yeah.
But electricity
is
easy. Because if you have most electric cars, the Volt, the Tesla, you could plug them in at home.
Yeah.
And if you're rich enough to afford a Tesla, you're rich and a garage, you're rich enough to afford solar power.
Right, but let's talk about what's more damaging to the Earth, like the long term, like first of all,
either one of these are better than what we have
now. There's downsides to electricity,
One is the batteries are a big problem, and we don't seem to be growing. We don't seem to be introducing any new battery technology that makes cars drive farther and longer without
having
to
recharge. That is not true.
That is, yeah,
there's a ton of research being done.
Yes, but we haven't seen it. And it's
been called a lithium ion battery. Before that, we had the lead acid batteries. Things are being improved.
There have been children creating brand new types of batteries for years. And we have never yet seen any consumer level version of these new battery technologies. And I'm thinking there's reasons for that, but I think there's not necessarily going to be a new revolutionary battery invented before hydrogen takes over as a new source.
Okay, listen, skeptic who runs a podcast on the tech industry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nobody thought a Tesla vehicle would ever work. They thought it would be like the new Tucker.
Okay.
It would not be viable. It would not work.
There were electric cars in 1910.
Yeah, and they went like 12 miles, and they went 15 miles an hour.
Right.
You know.
No, the real reason they were displaced is because oil was cheap.
Yeah.
So nobody thought that you would be able to get a car that could go 300 miles.
It was more efficient than,
you know,
gas was
more efficient. But look, Teslas are making crazy money. They're selling as many cars as they can build.
Yeah, but it's most, I believe that part of the reason is because not only is it a new energy source, but it's because they're nice looking cars and people are spending money for that nice looking car.
Well, Wes, just to counter that with what I've researched, there's a ton of new battery technology that's in the pipeline right now. It's coming out in a couple of years, but they always say that, right?
Right. That's kind of how I feel.
It is going to happen.
Okay.
But your point is it going to happen before hydrogen is a viable source?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think that there's benefits to hydrogen, not knowing how it's generated or made, but
just what it produces when it's combusted.
Because it produces more powerful engines and longer running vehicle, longer distance running vehicles on a single tank of gas.
And it's actually safer than regular gas.
Its byproduct
being water is great.
Yeah,
and I mean, people are worried about, the Hindenburg, it's going to blow up and the humanity.
Yeah.
But actually, since the tank is small, even if it blew up, it won't, because it's not more than gas, but it rises, it's lighter than air.
A lot of the ways that they're storing it and releasing it into the combustion chamber are a little bit at a time. So the amount that's around that's combustible at any given point in the latest designs is minuscule. So that's actually not an issue anymore.
Well, I mean, if like there was an accident, somebody hit the, you know, 5 gallon
storage tank
or something. But people always said that about a car. Cars don't explode in accidents. What I'm saying is the technology
is already there, that the tank itself is not storing it in a combustible form. It's being released through a chemical process into the combustion chamber a little bit at a time. So it's actually not a tank of combustible hydrogen.
So
it's in a state that's not combustible.
So we know the benefits of hydrogen, but we know what we have.
It's a fuel cell car that we're talking about where there is no combustion.
There's still combustion. The hydrogen does combust.
It does.
Are you talking about the hydrogen being converted into electricity directly?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed that about the article.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a new fuel cell car.
Okay.
It's not just pumped into the combustion chamber.
Okay.
Like a regular, which you can do. I saw it on Mythbusters.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about the
storage form is not in a combustible form. It's just released a small bit.
But in a fuel cell car, it is. It's liquid.
Okay.
Hydrogen.
So, but either way, let me go back
when
to...
When it's combusted.
Let me go back to...
Not when it's stored.
Let me go back to what I was talking to Mark about first, which is, out of the two different technologies, which one is less harmful to Earth?
Well, it depends on where you get the hydrogen, how you manufacture the hydrogen. If you're manufacturing it from electricity, and the electricity has to come from coal plants, then it's not any better.
Okay.
So that's why I say I don't really know about where the hydrogen will come from.
Maybe the technology in that car is different than the ones I've been researching.
Yeah, well, maybe. Or maybe I just misread the article. Whichever way.
Fuel cells.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fuel cells are awesome.
Because I've heard where different ones keep it as a liquid in the tank, and somewhere it's just compressed.
Yeah,
and if it's just a compressed gas.
The one I was talking about is it's actually not in a combustible form, and then it's released through a chemical process in small amounts.
How is hydrogen not combustible?
It's stored in a different state than liquid.
Right.
It's mixed with another compound to keep it not combustible.
Oh, wow.
And then it's released through a chemical process right at the stage where it is combusted. So it's just a small amount that's flammable at a time. That's what I was trying to explain.
Oh, I've not heard that. That's interesting.
This technology in your car might be different, but the point being, whoever did this did a really great job and a very efficient job with supercapacitors and a very cool design.
Yes.
Nice.
And on that note,
I think we're near the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, one listener, for listening. Again, all of our show notes will be published and posted by the ever famous, world famous Mark Brené, who spends an awful lot of time at, where do you do this?
Home.
Starbucks.
Panera Bread.
Panera Bread. Puts the show notes together.
Any place with free Wi-Fi.
Right.
Now, for those people who thought Starbucks and Home were different places, they aren't.
You can find everything at the same place you're listening to the show from right now, www.slurpcast.com. Because I know you didn't add this RSS feed to your iTunes, because that would be really too hard to click that button.
And we wouldn't believe you anyway.
The page. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Whatever.